Dear listeners, as we are reviewing the very first Paddington movie,
yay,
we thought we would combine this with a game of Jeopardy.
Right.
So, if the answer is marmalade sandwich, what's the question?
What does Freddie Mercury wear under his teeth?
What can you use as a novel sex toy?
Dude, please don't have Paddington and sex toys in the same conversation.
Well, the real reason the Browns took him in.
Oh, God.
Well, he does wear Wellington boots.
I'm going home.
Welcome, 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 dear listeners, one and all, to this, the latest in a long line of Staggering Stories podcast. I'm Crumbly.
I'm Fake Keith.
I'm Adam.
I'm Asdaman.
And I, yes, I am...
a blot on the landscape of life.
The drying rind in a jar of marmalade.
The damp that is rising up the wall of the universe.
No Jean today. She's launched herself into orbit.
She has.
All via her bottom.
Yeah. All over Florida.
Yeah.
Oh, is she USAing?
No.
She's got the squits.
Ah.
Yeah, we figured a drive from London to Crawley with no opportunity for a break, accompanied by the speed bumps coming into and out of Sainsbury's, would be a little much.
Yeah. So, although if you just have a big birthday milestone, probably time for those adult nappers.
Oh, those big adult ones. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, the tenor ladies.
Oh, they're not just the pads, mm-hmm. the absorbent pads. It's the entire, as our American chums would say, diapers.
The oops, I've crapped myself.
I was trying to keep it subtle, but yeah.
Not sure we succeeded.
Moving rapidly on.
Anyway, without further ado, strange word games besides, it's the news with El Presidente. Woo-hoo!
Doctor Who news. Oh. Mm. The Streaming Times.
Mm. Oh, is that an adventure series?
Sounds yeah. like it. Yeah. When everyone's got a really bad cold.
Mm. Well, maybe it's what's happening to Jean at the moment.
Now. As we know, Doctor Who will return to our screens on Saturday the 12th of April. We did not know the time, but now we do, at least for the iPlayer and Disney+. Last season, the episodes appeared at midnight UK time on the iPlayer and simultaneously on Disney+, no matter the time zone of the viewer. The latest Christmas special then ditched that idea and had the episode appear on streaming at the same time as the BBC One broadcast. Now we have something in between. Ooh. Episodes will appear at 8 a.m. UK time on both the iPlayer and Disney+. Mm. We will likely not have a BBC One broadcast time confirmation until a couple of weeks before transmission, but we can safely assume it will be early evening on those Saturdays and not at 8 a.m. Another thing we do know is that the first episode will be going out solo this time. No double episode drop on that first weekend, and almost certainly not for the entire run. Mm. On the subject of Doctor Who being in trouble, a little mouse in the Disney press department published what appeared to be a joint statement.
Doctor Who remains one of the most watched programmes on iPlayer and was a top five series on Disney Plus globally every week it aired, as well as being the BBC's top drama for under 35s this year, making it one of the biggest programmes for the demographic across all streamers and broadcasters.
Mm. How depressing. Mm. Biggest top drama for under 35s.
Well, that's us, isn't it?
Yeah, so are we. We're under 35.
Considerably.
Our eldest son.
Karen.
Yes?
Mentally.
Fair enough. Yeah.
Physically, we're not too sure.
Yeah.
Physically, we're 98. Except for Scott, who is ridiculously fit for his age. Hi, Scott.
Hi.
We can get him to open all the jars for us.
Would you like to read the next bit of news, Scott?
Yes.
Scott, I've got a coffee jar here.
Oh, pass it over. Like a multitask.
Go on, then.
Star Trek Strange New Worlds goes forth.
He's not even straining.
Uh-oh. That is Jean's seat.
Well, it's used to it then,
isn't someone's got to deal with it. The gap between Star Trek : Strange New Worlds' second and third season is rapidly approaching 2 years, with season two appearing in June 2023. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean that Captain Pike and his probably deliberately Shatner-shaming hair has been off playing dodgems in his creepy beepy chair.
Why am I reminded of Futurama?
Even for you, that's bad.
Quite the contrary, as not only is season three in the can, but they have already started to film their fourth season, even before season three airs. Ooh. Is that right?
Yeah.
Doing a Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Star Trek as a franchise may be in some turmoil behind the scenes, with Paramount's prospective new owners, subject to the regulatory agreement, Skydance perhaps looking at ending the deal with Secret Hideout to produce Star Trek. Scuttlebutt suggests that the arrangement may terminate at the end of the year, but anything in production by that point can continue production into next year. Rumour goes on to say that the plan is to finish Strange New Worlds with a fifth season, and hope is to squeeze that into early production before the end of the year to lock it in.
One wonders how this stands for Star Trek Academy.
Well, who knows, but the rumour has it that that's going to be a two-season job and done.
Mm. More importantly, do we yet know when season three of Strange New Worlds is coming out?
Do we actually have a date? I'm not sure we do.
No, they're too busy filming it. No time for special effects.
Too busy.
No time for actually releasing it.
No.
So it's all in the lap of Paramount Plus.
Oh. Yeah, they're going through turmoil at the moment because, what is it, they've cancelled Frasier as well,
They cancelled Frasier, yeah.
That's being shopped around at the moment to go elsewhere.
Yes, I can't imagine they'd be picked up, but you never know.
Yeah.
Gene Hackman.
Dead.
Eugene Allen Hackman has been luthered to death, aged 95. In the world of sci-fi, Hackman is, of course, best known for playing Superman's arch-nemesis Lex Luthor in three of the four Christopher Reeve films. He also appeared in Mel Brooks' Young Frankenstein and, for TV, an episode of The Invaders.
Wow.
Of course, he's best known for such films as The French Connection, The Poseidon Adventure, The Firm, Mississippi Burning, Unforgiven, Get Shorty, and Ants.
And Ants.
This was terribly sad.
Yeah.
Because there's obviously investigations and that going into it, but it sounds like his wife, who was an amazing concert pianist, died. And he was too deep into dementia to even know how to look after himself.
Blimey.
Yeah.
Aww.
Yeah.
Very sad.
Yeah. I saw a picture of him from a year or two ago. I didn't recognise him. He looked so old.
He looked completely different towards the end.
But you always imagine him looking like he did in Superman. Mm. Well, that was 40-odd years ago. Yeah. So.
Yeah. I'll tell you, one of his favourite ones for me is one of my guilty pleasures, is the Poseidon Adventure.
He's
awesome in that.
Yeah.
Very, very grumpy priest.
Yeah. Roberto Orsini.
Dead.
Yes.
Roberto Gaston Orsini. Probably pronouncing that wrong, I do apologise.
Yep.
Writer and producer has been chagrined. He's on a roll today, isn't he? Has been chagrined to death, aged only 51.
Oh, blimey.
Not a good innings.
No.
Yeah. Orsini was a long-time collaborator with Alex Kurtzman, and together they worked on such projects as Hercules the Legendary Journey, Xena Warrior Princess. He co-created Fringe with J.J. Abrahams and Sleepy Hollow with Philip Escove. They wrote the first two Michael Bay Transformer films. They returned to working with Abrams on Mission Impossible 3 and both 2009 Star Trek and Star Trek Into Darkness, then continued to work with Star Trek Beyond without Kurtzman. Other films Orsini worked on as a writer and or producer include The Island, The Legend of Zorro, Watchmen, Cowboys and Aliens, Now You See Me, Ender's Game, and The Amazing Spider-Man 2, and the 2017 version of The Mummy.
Mm, for somebody 51, he did a lot.
Yeah, it was certainly a mover and shaker behind the scenes.
Yeah, it really was. Simon Fisher-Becker.
Dead.
Yeah, Simon Fisher-Becker has been tanked engined to death, age 63.
Straight to hell.
You're going to burn.
Fisher Becker was best known to the likes of us for playing the blue man, Dorian Moldavar, mm-hmm. in 3 episodes of Matt Smith era Doctor Who. In Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone, he gave us his fat friar. And for 10 years, he portrayed Thomas Tank Engine's Sir Topham Hatt, once known as the Fat Controller, in live shows and promotional events. He's also a regular presence at many Doctor Who conventions and always happy to have a chat.
Yes. Mm, yeah.
He also engaged with fans on Facebook, seemingly never failing to send a happy birthday direct message. At least to me, he did.
Yeah, I got lots of them as well. Yeah. He's really nice. Yeah.
He was ever so sweet. He came to Crawley Cineworld when they were doing...
The 50th.
50th anniversary. Yeah, he was there for that.
I was sat and had a chat with him for almost an hour. It was just...
Yeah.
He was ever so easy to talk to.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. So many conventions he was at. He often there on his own dime as dealer's table. And
yeah.
Yeah. So we saw him at Galley as well, didn't we?
Yes.
Yeah. We were around for a couple of those, yeah.
63 is not particularly good age either.
No, no. Yeah, I think he had health problems, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Any addendums?
Well, continuing with the death, I'm afraid.
Oh, okay. Who else? Yeah. Tom Baker.
Well, it's one other death, which was definitely not very old, was Michelle Trenchenberger.
Oh, God, we never mentioned her.
Michelle Trenchenberger.
Yeah.
That happened just after we called the last
session. Yeah, it was just after the last session.
39.
So, yes. No, apparently she just had a liver transplant.
Oh, so, yeah, you know, she's not in great health.
Yeah, she wasn't in very good health. And
Sarah Michelle Gellar left a lovely tribute, and then they all did.
Yeah.
But her lines were direct from Buffy.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy, yeah. Even when I saw her age 39, she can't be 39, surely.
Yeah, she still looks like 20.
Yeah, again, you just think of her as still being that teenager from Buffy. I hadn't seen anything more recently, so.
My last one.
Oh, yes.
Is this one a little more cheery?
This one is a slightly more cheery. Oh, good. Dated February 26th, this one, so it may have gone. But according to the prop store, you could own a genuine Superman costume.
Ooh.
Okay.
I think it was Superman 3.
Oh,
When he went evil.
Right.
So it's
oh, yes.
Yeah, it's a slightly darker Superman costume.
I take it this is an auction.
This is an auction, yeah. Right. So you can own a genuine screen-used Superman
costume. Something that's been sweated in
by Christopher Reeve.
Yep.
Evil pants of Spider-Man.
As I said, it's a slightly darker shade than the standard Superman costume.
Was it always that way, or was that after he sweated in it?
That's because he was evil.
Right,
yes.
The 5 o'clock shadow.
Yeah, it's estimated to go with sort of a 200,000 to 400,000.
400,000?
Yeah, that's a 400,000. Yeah.
There are some very big Superman fans.
Yeah.
Including the likes of Jerry Seinfeld, who've got a lot of money.
Yeah.
And that's the end of the news.
Woo!
Right, because we are all mature.
Of a certain age.
Grown-up people. And of a certain age. We wanted to do something serious, just for once. So we have watched Paddington. Pause for music. Right, this version of Paddington was made in 2014, but every single person in this room, with the possible exception of Scott, on account of him being a young whippersnapper, would have seen Paddington at tea time when they were kids in his own little, 10-minute show?
About five minutes each year.
Well, as a matter of fact...
You saw Paddington?
I did. Not only that, I watched it all when I was younger, when it's repeated, but I showed it to my nephew as well. We watched the first three episodes recently.
What did you think?
Reminisced. I remember having all of the wallpaper and everything in my room.
Oh.
I really missed that programme. And it's funny how much of it I remember, like the bath scene with all the flooding. So I was really looking forward to seeing the film to see if any of that got into it.
It did.
They definitely took inspiration.
But of course, we all know that behind the marmalade sandwiches, the lovely comfy coat and the floppy red hat with the marmalade sandwich secreted within, Paddington is the Slayer of Queens.
The Queen met
Paddington.
Yes.
And then she died.
That's true.
And he, as the picture showed us, walked her off to the afterlife.
Straight to hell.
No!
Death has a new face.
Bear being a psychopomp. I mean,
well, just wait for it to come out of copyright like Bambi did.
And
Winnie the Pooh did. Yeah. And see what they did
Paddington,
with it.
Paddington, the slasher movie.
I'm not sure we'll be around for Paddington going out of copyright, because when does it create? It wasn't long before the TV series, was it? I don't think.
1950s or 1960s. Yeah.
The original TV series was 76.
Yeah.
A couple of years after I was born. And then carried on to about 1980.
I remember having the books like sort of Paddington Abroad and a Bear Called Paddington and such.
Yeah.
And I think they were about the mid-60s.
There's okay. a reason...
1958.
There's a reason why we chose to watch Paddington. Because this is one of our selection of spotting doctors in things that aren't anything to do with Doctor Who.
Yeah. Yep. Who actors in other things.
And of course, Peter Capaldi played Mr. Curry.
Yes.
Just
ill-tempered and
I
grouchy.
I think it has to be pointed out that Mr. Curry bookends his tour as the Doctor, because we have Paddington, which was the last thing he filmed before he became the Doctor, and then Paddington 2, which is the first thing he filmed after being the Doctor.
Yeah, it must have been around the same time, wasn't it? He was a Doctor in 2014.
Yeah,
but the lead times of films, particularly heavy CG films like this one.
Yeah.
I mean, myself and Fake Crumbly saw this at the cinema, and I mean, I must admit to laughing out loud where the Lionel Richie music started playing when he bumped into Nicole Kidman's character.
Yes.
Hello.
Is it me you're looking for? Yeah. He's a grumpy, but he does have his code. There was things that he wouldn't do.
He wouldn't allow Nicole Kidman to murder Paddington.
No.
Which is something no one should ever allow.
It's weird seeing him without that bouffant hair again, isn't it, right back at the beginning.
Because if you look at Deep Breath, that's the hair he had.
Yeah, very short.
But for the uninitiated, Paddington is a bear from darkest Peru.
Mm-hmm. Who's been Peru, but not darkest Peru.
Who's been sent to live in the UK by his Aunt Lucy.
Yeah.
Yes.
Who is now in the Home for Retired Bears.
That worried me at the beginning, because I wondered if I'm going to live at the Home for Retired Bears was like when we sent our guinea pig to live on a farm. But apparently there is actually such a place.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Did you see the third film?
Yes.
Not yet.
No, it's very good. You see a bit more of Aunt Lucy than the third.
So Paddington arrives. He stows away on a boat. Gets from darkest Peru all the way to London, winds up at Paddington Station, where everyone ignores him. He's grown up hearing about a grand explorer explorer who said
shunned.
He would always be welcome, the family would always be welcome if they came to London. And so he'd practice his manners, saying hello and welcome and talking about the weather.
Coming
everything,
downstairs,
everything
Rod.
You need to know in England. But of course, arriving at Paddington at rush hour, no one wants to say anything to him. And
despite his label.
And he says, please look after this bear. And so he's sitting outside the Lost and Found, all sad and lonely. But did you notice when Mrs. Brown comes back to talk to him, the found bit of Lost and Found flickers on. It was very sweet.
I must mention and intercede at this point.
Right.
I had a very freaky moment of deja vu. Didn't I, Karen?
No.
Yes. See, Mrs. Brown says they can take Paddington home to find him somewhere to live.
Yeah. Okay.
And Mr. Brown's a bit grumpy about it, but she says it will only be for one night.
Yeah.
Keith took that moment to point out that that's what happened with our pup, Trixie, Siobhan's dog.
Yeah.
How we took her in for the night. Not going to get attached.
Yeah.
And now she's my pup. She's my baby.
And now, how many months later?
Several months.
Yeah.
And you love her as much as I do, and you know you do. And she turns into a wag machine when you come in the room.
Is she addicted to marmalade yet?
Haven't tried her on marmalade, although she does like a good sausage.
Don't we all?
Very, very fond of each other.
Please don't talk about my dog like that. Anyway.
Apart from that slight faux pas.
So Paddington is quickly making himself at home, and the kids love him, and Julie Walters, who's the housekeeper, loves him, and Mrs. Brown loves him, and Mr. Brown sighs a lot.
And Mr. Gruber likes him,
But then onto the scene comes Nicole Kidman.
Dun, dun, dun!
who is a horrible, horrible person.
With a British accent.
Yes.
She did quite well. Yeah. But she's the curator of the Natural History Museum.
And she's also, was it, the daughter of a very discredited explorer.
She's the daughter of the explorer who found Paddington's grandparents.
Aunt Lucy and Uncle Pastuzzo.
And she's apparently also named after a very colourful boxer.
That was rather tongue-in-cheek, that was. Yeah.
She goes a bit sort of Mission Impossible at one point, doesn't she?
Well, this is the thing. Yeah. We were saying there's so many different films referenced in it. You've got the Mission Impossible thing, which is coming down from the skylight.
Yep.
You've got...
I think there was a few Titanic.
Pirates of the Caribbean, where they're talking about the cabbie's code, which are more than... Or Matt Lucas is talking about the cabbie code, which are more like guidelines. Yeah.
There was a Titanic moment with the bath. I'm sure there was.
But she wants Paddington to stuff and exhibit in the museum.
Yep.
And, well, this is a bad thing to do.
This is the level that Mr. Curry won't stoop to.
Stepped aside.
And did an impersonation of someone else on the phone.
I'm not entirely sure what his impersonation was.
That was quite funny, wasn't it? Is
that you, Mr. Curry? No, it's not Mr. Curry.
One thing I did like was why they fleshed out the character of Mr. Gruber a bit more. So he came over to England on the Kinder transport.
Yeah.
Again, stuff that go way over kids' heads.
But that was another one of Jim Broadbent's completely indecipherable accents.
Another doctor, we should add, too.
Not quite as bad as the attendant for the Spanish Infanta in Blackadder, but not far off
the Spanish Infanta.
Yeah. I wish to entwine you again in my broad thighs.
You also had the moment where the dad dressed up as a washerwoman started cleaning, and I was just thinking a bit pertly from Green Death.
Horrible History, Stupid Death Guys.
Oh, yeah.
Ghost Guys.
Yes.
Security. Simon Farnaby, that was it, was the security guard.
Did anybody notice the cameo by Michael Bond?
Yes.
No! Which one was Michael Bond?
In the taxi at the beginning.
Yeah, and he's there past the cafe.
Oh, really?
He's raising glass. Yeah.
I can see
the bloke. Yeah.
That's the creator.
I thought he was Paddington. Dead.
He was by the third one.
Oh. But the flooding of the bathroom was a bit more apocalyptic this time, with the bath shooting down the stairs like a flume.
Don't you wish, though, that your bathroom was that watertight? Yeah. That was amazing.
It was just one little towel under the door, and it was hermetically sealed.
The whole thing, even the keyhole for the door wasn't letting the water in. Yeah.
And you kind of had a recreation of that scene in the cake shop from the TV series. With all the cream cakes and everything stuck to him and everything.
When he was at Paddington Station and then he was licking it off of his own butt. I did like he was exploring the facilities, the bathroom, and he found the toothbrushes and assumed they were ear cleaners. And sort of swished around and ended up trying to taste his own earwax. And then a few scenes later, Mr. Brown is cleaning his teeth. Mr. Brown, why are you using the earbrushes for your teeth? How strange.
You almost see that moment where he works out what they're for, don't you, in his eyes. Yeah. And then he slowly puts them towards his ears.
And they go, the eyes going boss.
The scene in the public records office. I mean, to say that place is wonderfully retro.
Pneumatically
steampunk.
Well, vacuum tubes.
Well, it reminded me. We've been at that pub in off of King.
Oh, the
Charing Cross,
the Explorers Club.
Yeah,
And when you get to the door in this place, the doorman lets you in, asks for your name and what you would like your first drink to be, because there's like two flights of stairs. And as you're going down the stairs, he's written it on a piece of paper, put it in a ball and put it in the tube. And by the time you get down to the bottom, the barman's already preparing it.
Amazing.
It's so cool. It's a really good club, isn't it?
And there was a massive, great big Heath Robinson machine at the background that made cocktails.
We're going to have to see if it's still open and pay it a visit.
Yeah, I'm really impressed by how much effort they put in. Because on the face of it, it's just a kind of kids' film, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
But it's actually much more than that. It is very much a family film.
Mm. It is.
And they put a lot of time and money into the effects. Paddington and stuff like that.
Paddington particularly is screen perfect. It's close to screen perfect.
I saw somebody do a review and they actually pointed out a bit I didn't notice, where there's a picture on the wall that's got a slightly reflective, because it's got a glass front.
Yeah.
And you see Mr. Brown walk past and Paddington. And they actually put the trouble in having Paddington in the reflection.
Yeah.
Which you didn't need to do. Nobody would notice that.
No.
But the sort of level they went to, you can really tell that they believed in it.
It's a small digression, But I would like to point out one of Nicolas Cage's films, which is, I think, The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent.
Oh, yes, I saw that. It's in my...
Which has Nicolas Cage infiltrating a drugs cartel.
Yeah.
But as Nicolas Cage.
Yeah.
The CIA have hired Nicolas Cage to infiltrate this drugs cartel because the cartel leader is such a massive fan of Nicolas Cage. All out to leak secrets. And at one point in time, they take LSD and bond together over the sublime perfection of Paddington 2, the film.
Yes.
the drug lord is Pedro Pascal.
Yeah. 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 So again, it's a nicely wonderful tongue-in-cheek film. Watch it if you get the chance.
And I think it's probably got a perfect score on IMDb, isn't it?
Yeah.
Paddington 2.
Yeah.
It's very highly regarded.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. The first one's not bad either. Yeah.
No, as I said, the first one is virtually perfect, in my opinion. We could all do with a little bit more Paddington in our life.
Yeah.
And also, I want to know about this reggae band.
Oh, yes!
The
rogue octogenarian reggae band.
Yeah, I don't know who they are, but they get proper credit at the end. They D-something Dream, I can't remember what they were called.
They were excellent.
Yeah. Very colourful coats and hats, and except for the scene where he was trying to find a home. They're all in white, sort of under the hood.
Yeah, a little bit more subdued.
Yeah.
It was weird hearing Peter Capaldi's sort of London Cockney voice.
Oh, yeah.
It was a bit off-putting. And he did a lot of smiling again.
Yeah.
He did.
It's worrying. I don't like him when he smiles.
That was another one. It was one of the Indiana Jones films, the first one.
Yeah.
Where Julie Walters this time basically plays the drinking game with the security guard at the Natural History Museum.
Yeah.
Like, was it Marion and...
I don't know.
And there was also the scene with the hat, Paddington sliding under the door.
Yeah. Not quite as smooth.
And I was like, it gets caught, but then he rips it out.
Yes! Another reference. Apparently, originally, Colin Firth was the voice of Paddington.
Oh, really?
Mm. Yeah, he was cast, and then they recast it fairly late to Ben Whishaw. I think he didn't quite sound right for the role. He voluntarily said, I'm not quite right for it.
Yeah, no, Ben Whishaw, he's really perfect. You'll be able to find it on YouTube. Watch the Platinum Jubilee thing where Paddington has tea with the Queen. It's just absolutely perfect. And it's as I said to Keith, it's so obvious it's everyone saying goodbye to her.
Mm.
Yeah.
And she knew it. But it's just absolutely wonderfully done.
So in summing up, what can we say about Paddington?
Great film,
perfect.
Yeah, enjoyable at any age.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
If you've had a rubbish day, just sit down and watch Paddington.
Yeah, all three of them are great.
All right, we'd now like to know what you think of Paddington and Paddington 2 and even Paddington 3 if you've seen it.
But Capaldi's not in that one.
Yeah.
No.
Oh.
Write to us via show
at
staggeringstories.net.
Woohoo!
Right, everyone, we've been listening to things.
Three things at once.
Indeed, back to Big Finish Audio Plays. And this time we have a new doctor.
Pause the music. I'm sorry.
She's so bossy.
I didn't know. See, he's blurry, so I didn't know if he'd finished.
Scott! Stop being blurry.
I'll put a full stop in the end.
Carry on. So who's this then?
We've been listening to The Fugitive Doctor.
Ooh.
Now pause for music?
Yeah, absolutely. Pause every sentence. Yeah, so we had three plays to listen to, didn't we?
We did, Three...
forgotten the titles already, even though I checked them before recording.
Fast Times. The Legend of Baba Yaga.
Yes.
And Dimension of Lost Things.
That's it. I remember now.
Yeah.
Your memory of it got lost.
That's it. Fast Times, I think that is an accurate description of the first audio play. You sort of go straight into it. You've got division there. Yep. You've got a new doctor who you're not quite sure about.
Yes.
Saving people seems to be a bit of a sideline for a bit of an inconvenience because she just wants to run away from everything.
Yeah. This is what I was saying to Keith. I mean, I absolutely am loving the Fugitive Doctor because she just seems so annoyed.
Pissed off with everything.
I'm gonna save your life, but God, I don't have to.
Annoyed,
make it.
But without being grumpy. So it's kind of feeling like it's pre Hartnell. She's kind of got that.
Doesn't want to be doing with this shit.
Yeah,
this is a chase movie.
Yeah, it is literally the chase, isn't it? It's very much based on the chase from Hartnell's era.
And it's even suggested that she's already had her memory wiped at least once.
That makes sense, because presumably they've wiped the fact that she's the timeless child at this point.
Well, I'm assuming the division and this doctor is from what was, at the moment, is classified as the Dark Times, when the Time Lords took a more active interest in the galaxy at large.
Yeah.
And weren't necessarily very good at it.
Mm. Oh, I'm not saying that we're good, but yeah.
And although they weren't sort of the main focus of the story, all of a sudden, although you're not expecting it, the Daleks show up.
Really, that kind of threw me.
Yeah, and you're like, how are they going to play this if we haven't met them yet? But the Daleks are already aware of her.
Yeah,
but she's not aware of them.
Yeah.
At that point, because I was loving it up to that point, and then I thought, oh, God, we're going to have a reset button.
Yeah, another Dalek story.
I've got to admit, I was prepared to get annoyed with that. I know who generally plays fast and loose with its own continuity. It's something that just has a passing acquaintance with.
Yeah.
But there are certain things that might go too far. But it works in the fact that she doesn't know what they are.
So these
Daleks could be Time War Daleks, but we get mentioned of Time Corridor technology. So they're probably the grey Daleks from around Resurrection period.
You do sort of get hints of the 60s sound effects.
Yeah, they are 60s voices.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very unclear. The whole can of worms is... If she's pre-Hartnell, which we assume she is, then Hartnell hasn't been to Skaro yet, which hasn't prompted the Daleks to leave Skaro.
Yeah.
So does that mean that's all predestined?
Timey-wimey.
So it suggests she's going to have a mind wiped again at some point, at least
once.
Well, yes,
she will have to.
She's already being pursued by, is it Cosmo? Time Lord.
Cosmogon, played by Alex...
Krieger.
The Borg Queen.
The Borg Queen.
That's it, And is she part of the division, or...
Don't think she's directly... Separate.
I think she's a hired gun.
That's what I mean. I think she's working for them. She's a hired gun. That's the impression I'm given.
Yeah, so she's not a division operative as such. Mm. She's just another part of their dirty tricks department off of the side.
I'm assuming the division will eventually evolve into the CIA.
Yes, I assume so.
Mm. Please don't mention dirty tricks department, because I'm still trying to get over Section 31.
We assume that division are somewhat more interesting than that.
Jumping to the last one briefly.
Yep.
Big Lost Finish Kings. Managed to completely... without knowing they were going to, write themselves into a paradox. Because in the last one, you've got the Mallory Irving Everest expedition, and Irving is rescued. Because Mallory's body was found in 1999, Irving's was never found. Until last year, his foot was found in his boot. The boot was labelled A.C. Irving.
Right.
And his foot was still in the boot.
Right.
So someone's foot was in the boot.
So, while he was taken off to explore the far edges of the galaxy, which was kind of awesome, after this had been written and recorded, time caused a paradox.
Not necessarily. It just means his foot has to get back there.
Again, someone's foot.
Someone stole his shoes.
Someone goes back to the whole gravestone with Amy and Rory.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean they're actually dead. This is a gravestone. It just means a gravestone has to be there. But anyway.
What's the line? The story changes, but the ending has to remain the same.
Yeah. So he's going to have all these wonderful adventures, seeing the galaxies, blah, blah, blah. And then he'll decide, I've got to go home, so they'll take him back to Everest and chuck him on the top.
Just amputate the foot.
Yeah. Got a bionic foot.
Get the clone foot.
Yeah. God.
Or a Yeti foot.
Yeah, there are plenty of ways around it.
The boots weren't big enough for a Yeti foot.
No. So presumably this is also before she did her Camilla arch.
Yes, yes. I would thought so, yeah.
It's very unclear. And it's deliberately just, so, I think.
Yeah, it's there somewhere.
Yeah.
So it gives them a wide range to play with. You know, if you don't pin it down to specifics.
Hmm. Yeah. And there's also the character Fade. And her teddy.
Oh, yeah.
Her teddy, Xena.
Xena, that's it.
Xena, yeah. Mm-hmm. Was it a teddy based on Xena, the warrior princess?
I thought it was just a teddy bear.
I thought it was Xena.
Do you think she was lugging a Lucy Lawless
bear?
A Build-A-Bear of Xena.
Does it got a little vocal switch in it and it goes...
Yeah, why not? Black underwear.
But no, it's a data storage unit, isn't it?
There's a data spike in there, yes.
The USB stick stuck in it.
Whereabouts?
Well, indeed.
See, I enjoyed all three of these, but my favourite one was the second one.
Baba Yaga.
I've got to agree, yes.
It was so well written, so well done. Obviously, we were meant to straight away think that Baba Yaga was the Doctor.
Yeah.
Did you not think that? Oh, they're talking about the woman who lives in the strange hut.
The strange hut, yeah.
Oh, she,
she's scary, but she helps people. So straight away, I thought, that's the Doctor, isn't it?
We're wrong about her, but right about the hut.
They were.
Yeah. Yes. Jacqueline King.
Yes.
Sylvia Noble playing Baba Yaga.
Yeah, Baba Yaga. Really? It's Russian folklore.
It is Russian.
Very famous piece of music, isn't it?
Yeah.
From Fell's Legs, or whatever it's called.
It's got its horror moments as well, isn't it? Like Time Lord bodies being displayed.
Yeah.
And it's skeleton kind of play that they don't know whether Baba Yaga's been eating them or not, scooping out their brains.
So what was special about the girl? Because I wasn't familiar.
She was part of
She was
some
part
folklore.
Of a Russian legend. Yeah. I'm not sure if it's...
Okay.
connected.
Like Little Red Riding Hood.
Because I'd heard of Baba Yaga, but I wasn't familiar with the actual legend, I wasn't sure what the girl was about.
Yeah. Ant-Man.
Yes, it mentioned Ant-Man. Yeah.
But the idea that it's this TARDIS is just, it's got no soul left.
I love the ending. I love the way it all fitted together. About halfway through, I wasn't sure after I was going to like it.
Yeah.
Because they were leaning too much into the magic. Now, I understand there's very little difference between magic and science in Who.
Yes.
But we always have the sufficiently advanced science is indistinguishable from magic.
Yeah.
Mm. To a degree. You still get telepathy demons. And stuff, which is never explained. But
Yeah.
But it was when Baba Yaga basically told the TARDIS to open its doors, open her doors. And at that point, I was like, but made perfect sense.
Yeah, it fits nicely together.
Yeah.
And the ending for me was quite satisfactory. I was happy with it.
Yeah.
Because it's basically reconfigured everything around it, hasn't it? Via the telepathic and chameleon service. Yeah.
A psychic storm. We might come back to the psychic storm. I don't know.
Possibly. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
Might just be there.
Quite why that team of Time Lords is going to Earth around that era, I don't know.
Yeah.
Time Lords often go to Earth, so...
Yeah, it does seem to be a favourite spot.
To know.
Yeah.
And the fugitive doctor's TARDIS, is that still a police box?
Yes.
Yeah,
she does mention it's a police box. She doesn't know why.
Yeah.
And it does open up a whole can of worms, and they do say in the extras they did ask Chibnall about it, and he gave them some ideas.
Yeah.
He says he doesn't know for sure.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But, it's easy to explain away in several ways.
And there's another TARDIS mentioned that there's a pyramid, so more like the Rani's, isn't it?
Yes.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's in the next one.
Type 30.
Yeah. I've got no problem with her TARDIS being a police box.
No, not me.
Because we've seen that the TARDIS has a library of...
Future
console.
Yeah, exactly.
Console room.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't she have a library of future chameleon circuits? Somewhere there is an organ from Attack of the Cybermen.
Yeah, because there's no... real reason why an old police box would be in a junkyard.
No, that's true.
They would never have... The Metropolitan Police would not have given it to a junkyard.
No.
They would have just destroyed it
on the street, yeah.
Because it was concrete. They would have knocked it down.
I've got no problem with that. Timey-wimey.
It feels to me like it liked the shape at some point in its life, the TARDIS, and decided to keep
it. Stick with this.
Yeah. At some point in time, it had to assume that shape. But it knows it's going to assume that shape.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Also, I quite like the fact, in a way, this can... explain the apparent paradox of the Doctor stealing the TARDIS and the TARDIS stealing the Doctor.
Yeah.
Maybe the first time around, the TARDIS stole the Doctor, and the second time around, the Doctor stole the same TARDIS.
Yeah. They recognised each other.
Yeah.
Unknowingly.
Yeah, telepathically.
Yeah.
And you almost got a kind of Everybody Lives bit at the end, didn't you? With everything reverting, a bit like the Nana Jeans in Empty Child.
Yeah. Oh, with Baba, yeah. Apart yeah. from she was left in a bit of a state.
She was a bit. Yeah. She was left with the memories of what yeah, she'd done. That was still with the...
Much of psychological trauma.
Iron teeth and what yeah. have you.
And yeah. the Time Lords are still butchered either way.
So. Yeah.
They were probably bad guys. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she made good use of their bones.
So. She did. She did.
Yeah. But on the whole, yeah, I enjoyed this one.
Well,
I think,
good.
Like you, I think it's my... not dissing any others, but I think this is my favourite one of this three stories.
Yeah. It felt like a proper Doctor Who yeah. story, yeah. didn't it?
If I have a problem with any of the three of them, it's the third one, which was, I think, a bit harder to follow.
Mm,
maybe
yeah.
it's just because of the fact it's the third one.
Yeah.
And I'm a bit of a way in and maybe my concentration was going, but it's harder to keep track of what was going on in that third, particularly with two doctors.
Yeah.
Two
yeah.
identical doctors.
And yeah. flashbacks and bad dreams.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's,
yeah.
It is, out of all of them, the third one is my least favourite.
Yes.
Not the fact that it's a bad one.
No. Mm.
I'd like to stress that. It's still a good story, but it's not my favourite of this box set.
It's a bit more typical of Big Finish nowadays, where they get a little overly complicated sometimes.
Yeah. And yeah. Again, there was the thoughts of everything's happened, we hit the reset. I know they didn't, but that yeah. was the feeling that I got from the end of this one. Nothing major changes.
No, but it's an interesting concept in that Division have tasked a past version of the same Doctor
yeah.
to hunt which this is, mind-wiped...
Which is rather similar to Coda. The last one of the, what is it, the 60th anniversary.
Yeah, again, it was the same...
fugitive doctor, but this time going after the War Doctor.
War Doctor, yeah.
So it's not the first time they've done that.
That's true.
Is there, has she got another box set coming out?
Oh, yes, there's a whole bunch of them,
yeah,
I think.
While they've got her, they've sat her down, locked her in a room and recorded about 12 or 20
You're
stories.
You're not getting out until you've done them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a bit like having John Hurt. All of a sudden, you've got a different doctor to deal with different sort of priorities and yes. sensibilities, yeah. a different kind of backstory. In fact.
Yeah.
And she, yeah, as I said, I just love the grumpiness of her.
Yeah.
Yeah, as I said, they really can't be dealing with this. I've got yeah. other things to do. Oh, for God's sake. Okay, then, come on.
Oh, very well.
Yeah.
So I'm presuming it's going to be a bit like with the War Doctor and things like that, where we're not going to have a constant companion.
Yeah.
We're just going to have one-off
yeah.
companions mm. each story, I assume.
Because she really wasn't interested in having a companion.
She just wanted to drop her only travelling friend off, didn't she?
Yeah.
She
said, yeah. yeah.
We did have a companion in...
Flux.
Not the Flux. Was it Timeless Child? When the first time we saw her, when she had the watch, she had the human who was looking
yes.
after her. So
no, he was a Time Lord, wasn't he, I think?
I don't know. I thought I got the impression he was a human, but...
Well, I think at least Gallifreyan, but
yeah,
I don't know about Time.
Yeah, but she had a sort of companion then who was keeping an eye and looking after,
yes.
like Martha did with the Doctor.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But whether that is going to materialise in the future...
Yeah, and Carvan Easter obviously was her companion at one time as well.
Yeah.
Mm. I don't suppose we'll see him, because I think that's before all of this time period.
I don't know.
Depending on if yeah. we see more of this past version of this Doctor.
This is it. If we go by what they've done with the War Doctor, the first box set is leading up to what happened in Utopia.
Yes.
And then all the other box sets are set before that.
Yeah.
We might have one when she was actively working for the Division.
Yeah.
So you don't know.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's intriguing.
Okay, we'd love to know what you thought about this box set that I've forgotten the name of already.
Most Wanted.
That's the one. Write to us via show
at
staggeringstories.net. Wee-wee time!
While he's off to urinate...
Oh, yeah!
There's someone over there glaring at us.
Ooh.
Oh,
oh
no.
God.
One, again. Two, three.
Hello, Head of Pertwee!
Hello, Inky McSquirts-a-lot.
Yes.
Hello, Dinky McSquirts-a-lot.
Mm. Carbel Gruen Hilden Knobnacker.
Folded yep. up and propped against a radiator, Clara.
Oh, Panama-wearing Moomin.
Dave Zilla, the Mighty.
Mm.
Yes. And... Terence.
Nazi
Terence.
Spot. Oh, Terence. Yes.
Green. Churchill.
Mm-hmm. Various nebulas.
Yeah. Various Velmas as well.
Three or four.
Hell yeah, I'm back.
Right, before I start reading out the letters that you wonderful chaps have written to us, we have a question of American chums. We're talking about money. And we know a quarter is obviously 25 cents. But which one's a nickel and which one's a dime? We're never sure. And I know we've got Google in front of us, but it's much more fun when we ask you. Let us know.
How much is a pony and how much is a monkey?
Well, one of them's 200.
Is it?
One of them's 20.
Okay, never sure.
Why would you ask our American chums about Cockney rhinoceros?
I know, I should be asking Jean, but she's off exploring the universe.
But she's catapulting to the moon on their buttock juice.
Get a good job with hope and your own.
Anyway, you've been writing to us, you lovely people.
Thank you.
Thank you. Most
we
kind.
Have heard
especially you.
From...
So kind of you. Thank you. Such sweet, sweet words.
We have heard from Psycho.
Psycho.
Oh, no.
He says, or she says, I don't know. Good day, Staggerers. Been catching up with the podcast. Some feedback on Skeleton Crew.
Oh, yeah.
Totally enjoyable.
Yeah.
But I can't help noticing there are a lot of references to Treasure Island.
Oh, yeah.
Namely, true. Jude Law, character being Long John Silver, Wim being Jim Hawkins, and SM-33 being Ben Gunn. The relationship between Jodhnagh Law and Wim is the same as Book, and SM-33, Loss of Memory, again, is straight from Treasure Island.
Mm-hmm.
There are many more references when you look deeper.
Yeah.
Jude Law's character, for example, has many names, including Silver.
Yes, it was, yes.
Interesting to see where they go in the second season.
I hope they get one, yeah.
Star Trek Section 31. Oh, dear, I give up. Have you guys checked Severance?
I do watch it, yeah.
Probably best TV I've seen in a while.
Yeah, really good.
What's happening with Doctor Who? The British media is all over the place saying it's cancelled and there'll be a new Doctor. Is this clever marketing or doom?
Doom.
Keep up the good work. You're all doing very well.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Anything you see in the press is going to be negative slant.
Yeah.
Because apparently that sells papers or at least gets clicks.
Yeah.
Slow with news, the headlines. Though. It's unfortunate they never give you the good news, only the potential bad news, which is normally not even true.
It seems to be like that on YouTube as well. All the algorithms are set to negative things because everything that gets suggested to me, even stuff that I wouldn't normally click on, it's always bad news or bad reviews or...
Really?
Yeah, the other day, YouTube thought I wanted to watch a Man United game. Why?
Yeah.
Why would you do that?
It's a good job I grabbed the tablet out of your hand before you threw it.
Throw it.
Yeah, I know you were.
Have we heard from Catherine?
Oh, Catherine!
Yay!
Hello, Staggerers.
Hi, Catherine.
Hello, Terrence. Hello, Dave Zella the Mighty. Hello, Head of Pertwee. And hello, Scott.
Hi.
So good to hear you again.
Oh.
I hope the crew there reassembled you properly so that you'll be around regularly again.
I will.
I get a possibly troubling amount of news from you guys, which is hardly news by the time I hear it.
Always
say. It was nice to hear the air/drop date for the new season, especially since it's April instead of May this year. But also sad to hear all the rumors swirling around about the possible future of the show. We'll see what we see, of course.
Exactly.
Much like Gene's and my own reaction to news of the show coming back 20 years ago, I'll believe it when I see it or hear it or whatever. Mm-hmm. Moving on. Her.
Oh, yes.
I do remember hearing about the movie when it came out,
yeah.
But I didn't see it then, and given how y'all felt about it, I'm okay with that. Sea Devils.
Oh, yeah.
Not my favorite Pertwee story, but one I have a strong memory of.
Yeah.
Okay, not of the actual story, but of watching it the first time.
Okay.
My parents dragged my sister and me along on some minister's retreat in Virginia Beach, Virginia. The place was actually on the beach, but it was cold and rainy all weekend, so everyone stayed inside. With nothing much to do, my sister and I hung out in the basement whilst the grown-ups did their grown-up talking stuff upstairs. There was a black and white TV, and I found a station with somewhat poor reception that was showing the Sea Devils.
Probably all the better,
the fuzzy, gray images on the screen pretty well matched the miserable gray weather outside. Everyone talks about the music in this story.
Well, in quotation marks.
It was experimental.
Yeah.
One thing not pointed out often enough is that not all experiments are successful. Let's leave it there.
Good.
Nothing much else to report on around here. Other than a decision to move house after Renfest next year, things have been quiet around Shade Dragon, with little more than the sound of my sewing machine and the cat digging for treats in her puzzle box to be heard. That's mostly because I listen to everything with headphones. Time to get back to work. Be well, my friends. Anon. K. Catherine the Dragon Maker.
Thank you, Catherine.
Thank you.
Anything else?
I think that is it.
Mm.
Lead us out, Crumbly.
Ooh. And so, dear listeners, that brings us to the end of another podcast.
Thank God.
But never fear. In the next one, there'll be more of the same.
Please, no more.
More fun, frivolity, and jollity. More news and reviews. More hool and new. So, until that...
F for fugitive.
Oh.
Fantastically frolicsome.
Fidgety.
Flabbergastingly.
Finger-licking.
Fandango.
Comes frolicking.
Frolicking.
Frolicking! Frolicking!
Frolicking. Famously.
Towards us!
This is me, Crumbly Singh. Be seeing you.
Farewell.
Goodbye.
Bye.
They say a little knowledge is a dangerous thing, but it's not as half as bad as a lot of ignorance.
You have been listening to the Staggering Stories podcast, Series 1, number 467, featuring Adam Purcell, Andy Simpkins, Fake Keith, Scott Fuller, and the real Keith Dunn. Views expressed here are those of the speakers and don't necessarily represent those of the other speakers or the site. No copyright infringement is intended, and this has been an El Presidente and Fake Keith production for www.staggeringstories.net.
Hooray!
Ice cream is very tasty.
My uncle smells of elderberries.
Your uncle or your ankle?
Both.
Bibble thrust bugly in a lurgrid bee. And I shall hoopsiously drangle you
dudes,
with...
Dudes, we need to be quiet for a second.
With wrinkled bindle wordle.
All right, hold breath. Don't move for half a minute. Who's going to break?
If we all drop dead now, nobody would know.
I am bloody with my fluting turning groans. Or I shall hoopsiously drangle you with wrinkly bindleworts.
See if I don't.
Or smite thee in your global warts with my blurgle crunching.
Really?
What's it? There's always sort of with plurdled.
You're expecting me to try and remember Vogon poetry?
Yeah.
I probably should.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was a time.
Yes, there was. It was a thoroughly depressing news.
It was, it was. I do apologise.
We lost a fat controller.
Yeah.
We lost quite a few. Death had been grim reapering.
Mm.
As death is wont to do.
Yeah, so we head into another 2016 type year.
Already.
Yeah.
It was the salmon moose.
Go and stand in the corner and think about what you just said.
Do you know, thanks to Catherine, every time someone says, get me some Maryland cookies, I always correct them to Maryland.
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 Why are you saying it like that? Why are you saying it like that?
You say potato.
I say Maryland.
Have you trapped something?
Sorry, my bladder's coming out in sympathy.
I got told off the last podcast.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Why? So I wasn't at the last one, was I?
I know, you did edit
you edited it. And what happened when you edited it?
Oh, Jesus, you lot were going on about retirement, for God's sake.
And?
I can't remember.
Did you cut him out?
Oh, yeah. I was editing it. I cut the load out, and then I pressed play, and he's going, yeah, but of course, it's easier for people who just sit at a desk, isn't it? And I'm like, what the fuck?
Taken out of context.
I did have to do a control Z to see what he was actually talking about.
What's between segments?
Yeah, but it was like longer than the rest of the entire podcast. Oh yes, well I think I'll retire. Well, I could retire. Oh yes, I've moved so and so to my retirement fund. Oh yes, well I'm going to build up.
Mine's taking a hit. Trump is and Musk have hit the markets. Unfortunately,
do you see the French have burnt down a Tesla dealership?
Yeah,
have they really? Wow.
If you want something burnt down, you get the French.
Get the French to do
and
it.
Apparently his golf course in Scotland's been sabotaged.
It was. Yeah.
I lost a little bit on shares, but luckily I don't invest that much. So.
Yeah, no, most of my pension obviously is in shares. Ooh. And the US stock market's down a fair bit at the moment.
Yeah, they're not expecting a recession this year.
Shiny pound says there will be one. I shall keep my shiny pound.
Yeah.
Shiny pound.
I've got a... What is this? Oh, it's actually some... Is that a US coin of some kind? Yeah, it is.
That's an antique now.
Oh, yeah, they're stopping making the 1 cent, aren't they?
Are they? Mm. Oh, I've got one here.
Keep it.
See if I've got any.
eBay. At least 10 cents.
Hmm.
Which I've always... which one? I know a quarter is 25 cents, but which one's a nickel and which one's a dime?
Oh,
I'm never quite sure.
No, nor am I.
I think a dime is 10, isn't it?
I'm going to ask.
Nickel is 5.
By rights, I shouldn't be speaking to you at the moment.
Why? What have I done?
Because Liverpool beat Southampton.
Everyone's beat Southampton. Come on. You've got like 7 points. You're getting relegated.
That goes without saying, that does it.
The fact that we left it to 3 goals was, you know.
Why is it always Mo Salah?
Why is it always
Mo Salah?
Because he's on fire.
Mm. Oh dear.
He's used to it, he's Egyptian.
Oh, okay.
Ooh!
It's just hot there. Turn off your microphones.
As ever, what next time?